Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast for Connecting Faith. You can hear the show each Monday through Thursday at noon Central. And remember, there are even more shows available on our website, myfaithradio.com.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Well, hi, welcome to Connecting Faith once again. Glad to have you tuned in. I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks to Aaron McIntyre for running the board here today. And Grace at the phones, looking forward to chatting with you. Our phone number, as always, it's open at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. And looking forward to spending a little time reconnecting with our good friend of the ministry, Dr. George Kenworthy, who is back in the studio. Dr. Kenworthy is a theologian, a former pastor, but has a heart for relationships and marriage. And so some years ago, transitioned into leading an organization called Hope for the Hurting Home. And their ministries, we'll find out a little bit more, is about training pastors and chaplains to provide biblical counsel. And George has written a couple of books. The one we want to reference today is called Before the Last Resort, Three Simple Questions to Rescue Your Marriage. And George also brings with him one of his new associates at Hope for the Hurting Home, Kelsey Tim, graduate of Northwestern here, and just graduated with a psychology degree and is working in the ministry there as they continue to do some real research on the kind of hope and help that is available. George was a senior pastor in various churches for about three decades or so, and has also taught Hebrew scriptures and preaching classes at Trinity University and Denver Sem and Bethel Sem. And so we're just happy to have George back in the studio, and Kelsey to you as well. Welcome. Good to see you guys.
Thank you, Neil. It's great to be here.
We want to touch on a little bit about hope for hurting marriages today. I know that's really at the heart of what you're all about, but I'm just thinking maybe to start, we'll give you a chance to provide a little background as well, but it seems like there's been a lot of talk on marriage these days. Much of it seems focused on same-sex marriage, but the argument is always, well, it's all about two people loving each other. But, you know, is that really what marriage is all about?
Well, of course, when we talk about two people loving one another, it begs for definition. You know, what is love? Norm Wright, years ago, said that in America today, the way we define love is that love is an overwhelming feeling that you feel when you get this feeling that you have for somebody else. And, of course, the problem with that is that's our definition of love. Feelings can come and go rather readily. If we look at Scripture and say, you know, determining love's definition biblically, what would it be? Well, love biblically would be a commitment to an imperfect person who needs to be assured of our love when they've deserved it and especially when they haven't. And the problem is we don't know that kind of love in our society today. So if we define love correctly, I can say, well, yeah, love is essential. Our problem is we don't know what love is in America today.
You spent many years as a pastor. Was it your role as a pastor in seeing people in congregations or in your community that were just struggling in their marriage and say, you know, I mean, preaching God's word is important, but there's more that I could do?
Yeah, for me, Neil, it started as a young pastor where the honest truth is I didn't really want to do marriage counseling. I mean, in churches where I've served, the senior pastor's role is to preach and to lead. And very few senior pastors have time or inclination to do a lot of counseling. And that really described me, too. But I did my doctoral work at the University of Iowa in Bible. I mean, it was Old Testament specifically. But to make us marketable, we had to do work in two other disciplines, and counseling was one of them. And so I was in my 20s in my very first church, and people were coming with marriage problems. I didn't really want to do much because I didn't want my hands to get messy with all this emotional sludge. And then God convicted me with 1 John 3:17. How can you say you have the love of God in your heart and close your heart to your brother? So reluctantly, I started helping people, and honestly, I didn't know what to do. So it's like, Lord, help me. I don't know where I'm going, what I'm doing. And then over the years, we learned some things that that work. But yeah, it started back in my days in Iowa City years ago.
You know, I think many of us probably don't know what to do when we hear about marriage problems, and maybe we'll talk about that in just a moment, about, you know, what do we do if a friend or coworker or or maybe, you know, a brother or sister or something, so, you know, my marriage is in trouble. But let's talk a little bit about maybe difficult marriages. And first, are there some broad sort of framework things about in terms of patterns when we think about marriages that seem to be at the last resort, as the title of your book suggests?
Yes.
What are some of the patterns? What are those trip points?
Well, John Gottman is a secular researcher, probably one of the best-known researchers in America today. He has the Love Clinic. Perhaps some of your listeners have heard about that on the West Coast. What stands behind his Love Clinic is the idea that when you're with your counselor, a good one, knows how to de-escalate all your emotions and can monitor what you're doing in session to actually have you behave. But you can say that's not really what a couple needs. What they need is to be able to behave when the counselor's not there, de-escalating them. So he decided he'd put cameras on the people that he was helping from 9 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock in the evening. And that would be a way in which he could find out how are people really doing by themselves when the counselor's not around. What he discovered is that in every marriage, he calls them the four horsemen of marriage. In every marriage, there's somebody who's critical. In America today, research shows that it's more likely to be the wife that's the critical one. And then in every marriage, there's someone who's stonewalling, and that's likely to be the husband in America. So the wife is critical, and the husband's not paying any attention. And in every marriage, there's going to be defensiveness, on the part of the husband and the wife. Now, Gottman and researchers across the country would say even healthy marriages, there's criticism, there's stonewalling, and there's defensiveness. And so if you see that in your marriage, you know, it's like, okay, that's in every marriage, so don't look for perfection. But the predictor of divorce for John Gottman is contempt. When you get to the point where there is contempt in marriage, and you say, well, what's contempt? Contempt would be, I have no respect for my husband anymore. I have no love for my wife anymore. And this marriage is hopeless, and he or she is never going to change. And when you have those kind of attitudes, those are the number one predictors of divorce. And I would agree with that. In my experience, when you get to that sense of hopelessness, originally I was going to call the first book Dare to Hope Again, because when hope is lost, that's when your marriage is in trouble.
You know, let's talk about that, because maybe speak to the person who is, you know, feels they're at that point. Say, I feel like hope is lost. How do I get through today and sort of have a long-term view and believe that something could change? Because, you know, it tends to pile up, I think, doesn't it, the troubles?
Well, they do. They can pile up. But here's where, for those of us who have a faith in Christ and believe in the Scriptures, we can say we have every reason for hope. First of all, we need to ask ourselves, what is the foundation of my happiness and joy? If it's my spouse, I'm already in trouble. You know, if I think my spouse needs to be my soulmate and they need to be one that makes me happy and they're not making me happy, that is a wrong conclusion biblically. And I mean, even the secular authorities would say this notion that is prevalent today that your spouse is to be your soulmate is going to get people into trouble. But as Christians, we can say, well, our happiness should be founded in Jesus. Jesus is responsible for my joy, not my spouse. And what we challenge folks is you need to learn to be the thermostat that sets the temperature in your marriage. And the way to do that is to know that your joy is based in Jesus. Your spouse can't rob you of your joy. So you allow God to set the temperature in the room and fill you with that joy, and then you can have the influence on your spouse that God allows you to have.
You mentioned the word happiness a couple times.
Yeah.
Isn't that maybe at the heart of much of this, is that we focus so much on our happiness that really, you know, skews everything else sometimes?
Well, again, researchers have noted that since 1970, there's been a change in attitude in America. Back in 1970, folks would stay married for the sake of the kids, and they had a little bit of an altruistic motive. But that was the day when Maslow was doing his work in self-actualization, and it became about me. And then, of course, the women's lib movement was pretty active, and, the focus was on me there, too. And so there was a cultural shift in America back in the 70s, where now the focus was on me and my happiness, and then the delusion that if I'm happy, the kids will be happy. And there is plenty of evidence to show divorce hurts kids. Now, we need to be careful about that. I know there are a lot of single parents who are doing the best they can, and with God's help, you know, we can get, you know, do some wonderful things. But there is no question. The evidence shows that divorce hurts kids. So Anyway, there's this cultural shift where happiness trumps what God wants me to do, and it trumps everything else.
So again, as we talked about, finding our happiness in Christ as believers is that's going to keep us going steady through even some of the difficult times.
Yes, absolutely. It's just I'm not sure we believe that as much as Christians. I've said this in a lot of settings. Seems like the 10 spies out of the book of Joshua are alive in every church. They keep telling us this is impossible. They're giants in the land. You can't do it. You can't do it. And as Christians, we have to remember the Bible keeps telling us God can do the impossible. And we need to have the conviction that God can do the impossible. And for us in the church, I can say, where are our power stories of what God has done to save difficult marriages? And we are trying to give a catalog of those. We have ambassadors of hope who have wonderful stories of what God did to save their marriage. And we need more of that in the church, it seems to me.
We'll talk a little bit about that question, about where are the ambassadors of hope. And we'll talk about three simple questions to rescue your marriage. That's the subtitle of Dr. George Kenworthy's book called Before the Last Resort. And this is a great resource. You want to stop the pain in your marriage. You want to encourage others who are going through some difficult times. And we want to encourage you today, too. If you have some questions, just would like to ask Dr. Kenworthy, a theologian, a pastor, author, a counselor, and he's a director, CEO of Hope for the Hurting Home. Dr. George Kenworthy with us today, also his assistant, Kelsey Tim. Kelsey is a recent grad at Northwestern in psychology and is serving the organization, just doing research, and we'll get into some of that as well. We'd love to have you join the conversation at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. You know, maybe that you have a friend or a family member who's going through a difficult time. You're wondering, what can you say? We're going to address that in just a moment. And maybe this resource, the book, Before the Last Resort, would be helpful to you as well. We do have three copies to give away. If you want to be a part of the broadcast today, you can call us now at 877-933-2484.
I was so excited to hear from Luann, who I had met at a retreat, write and tell me how God's Word was changing her life. Hey, this is Debbie Griffith with Everyday Matters. Luann wrote, "Your encouragement to read God's Word every day has put a deeper hunger in me to do even more. Well, I'm still writing down what God gives me each day in my little notebook, but I've also joined a Bible study, and I'm just amazed at how the Holy Spirit brings things to mind that I've learned throughout the day." "Congratulations," I wrote back. "You're off of milk now and on solid food for sure. You're growing up." Hebrews 5:13 and 14 clearly states that anyone who lives on milk is still a baby and is not very interested to learn about living a godly life. But the individual on solid food is a grown-up person who's been trained to tell the difference between good and evil every day. For a daily dose of encouragement, visit DebbieGriffith.com.
I'm reminded that God has called us to persevere, to work through, and we want to do that wisely, and we want to encourage others, too, in their walk of faith, especially as it relates to marriage. And we're talking about a book, Before the Last Resort. These are three simple questions to rescue your marriage. Maybe your marriage is in a point where rescue is needed, or just maybe a little tune-up. We'll get some great advice and insight today with our guest, Dr. George Kenworthy, who serves as... He left his role as pastor back in about 06, I think, after about three decades or so as a pastor, and became founder and president of Hope for the Hurting Home. And it's a faith-based ministry that does training and teaching for pastors and chaplains. And Dr. Kenworthy still continues to teach in seminary and preach a bit. And he's authored the book that we're talking about, Before the Last Resort, Three Simple Questions to Rescue Your Marriage. Also with us today is Kelsey Tim, who's a part of the ministry Hope for the Hurting Home as well. George, maybe a word about the three simple questions. Let's touch on those. You know, when we feel like we're maybe headed to that last resort, what are the questions that can interrupt that trip?
Well, question number one is, do you believe that God is a creator God who has creative power today? And, of course, if God has creative power today, He has the ability, when we're stuck, to help us see something, discover something, experience something that's going to get us unstuck. And what we do is challenge people to pray for that. And then wait to be surprised at what God can do. We have lots of stories of how God intervened when people were stuck and did something specifically for them that reveal that he is still the creator God. So that's our first question. Do you believe God is a creator God and he still has creative power today? And the second question is, are you willing to apply the principles of the Bible to your life and to your marriage? You know, we believe that the Bible is God's word. It speaks to all the real issues that we face. And so, you know, are you willing to do that? And then the final question, I mentioned earlier that hopelessness is what we have to come. When people are feeling like they can't stand the pain anymore, you know, that's one of those predictors of a divorce. And Paul in the book of Ephesians tells us that in addressing a stuck church, by the way, that was, you know, they had unity issues, they had relationship issues, they had marriage issues, they had job issues, they had, you know, faith walk issues. So a lot of issues for this particular church. He tells them that God has all strength and all power and all might in heavenly places, and he challenges them to pray for that. So that's what we do. If you're stuck and you can't do it yourself, well, God has power and strength and might in heavenly places. So would you pray with us that God give that to you? And if, you know, typically we'd ask a husband and wife those three questions. And if they say yes to all three questions and mean it, well, then we'll tell them, well, I guarantee God will save your marriage. And I've had people around the world say, wait a minute, George, how can you give that kind of a guarantee? And it's, well, it's not my guarantee. God tells us he hates divorce. Jesus says what God has joined together, let no one put asunder. And in the book of Ephesians, God tells us he's got all strength, power, and might in heavenly places. So if we appeal to him, I believe that God is going to honor what he says and help us.
You know, part of your work is not simply just to develop some of these principles, but actually to test them out,
yes.
See if they're working right. In
yes.
fact, I know you've had a number of projects where you're actually getting some empirical data. So, I mean, talk a little bit about that. Does what you're saying really work?
Well, I'm going to turn to Kelsey now.
Okay.
We've been following the Australia Mental Aid. It's a first aid project. This is something they did in Australia, and we're using the same kind of methodology. So, Kelsey, why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. Well, in Australia, there was a man who, he was a researcher, and his wife struggled with depression. So he wondered, well, what can I do to help her? Maybe if I train everyday people to know how to talk with people about depression, to reduce stereotypes about that, that would indirectly help my wife. And what started as a very small thing, just him talking to his friends, he and his wife talking to their friends, eventually over the past 10 to 15 years, they have trained over 1% of the adult population in Australia, and they have moved their product to over 20 other countries. So that's kind of the pattern that we're following. We want to start with just teaching the people around us what they can do to help their friends and eventually all of America and potentially more of countries around the whole world.
Yeah, so we go to pilots in different places, and then we have pre-test, post-test that we have, and then we do follow-up with the people that we've trained. We're, you know, ongoing coaching, and we're finding out what works and what doesn't work. And then based upon all that evidence, we keep refining the product so that we're doing something that's going to be most effective. And that is following kind of the pattern of this Australia program. So,
well, as you mentioned, just in that program, it was a matter of what friends and neighbors kind of saying the right thing. Right?
Exactly.
So is that, can that really make a difference if we have a coworker, a friend, maybe a brother or sister who's, you know, confides, hey, my marriage is really in trouble. Is it just a matter of us saying the right things?
Well, that's part of it. I mean, what we do, we have developed a lot of sample lines of communication. So for example, your friend just told you something, and many times as Christians, we might be inclined to say, oh, you shouldn't feel that way. Well, you can't tell somebody they can't feel a particular way because we're going to feel whatever we feel. So one of the things we'll tell folks is you don't tell folks you shouldn't feel that way because that leaves your friend judged and condemned. And feelings are just feelings. Now, we can address feelings, help people get past feelings. So part of what we do is to say we have sample lines of communication. You know, when your friend tells you this, here's some things you can say, and here are some things that you need to avoid. But in addition to that, we give tools that we have validated that work. So that as a friend, you know, you find out your friend is struggling with depression, we have a tool for that. You find out your friend can't talk to their mate or they don't feel love, we have a tool for that. You find out that your friend has got conflict issues with their mate, we have a tool for that. So we're equipping friends with tools that we have validated that work. So that you're not just left saying, I don't know what to do with for my, you know, for my friend. You get some tools that you can suggest to help them.
Does it come down to, as we were mentioning, John Gottman and his study, and he talked about the four horsemen, do we have to sort of discern maybe at what level our friend's relationship is at? I mean, they're stonewalling or they're antagonistic, whatever it might be. I mean, do we respond in a different way based on what we discern there?
Well, you certainly, you know, when I mentioned earlier, if you have a leaning-in spouse, the hopeful spouse wants to save a marriage, as Christians, we can easily talk differently to them because they want to save the marriage. They're going to share our value system and everything else, and it's easier talking to the leaning-in spouse. If you're talking to the leaning-out spouse, the one who already has put divorce on the table, and they're likely to be the one that says, you know, I can't take the pain anymore, I'm sick and tired of the pain, and, you know, I feel my only way out is divorce. You go to that spouse and tell them the truth, God hates divorce, they're likely to get angry. And so probably telling them that is not the best thing to do, even though it's true. But there are some specific things you can do with that leaning out spouse that should be helpful. You know, you can challenge their repair narrative because most folks haven't had a good repair narrative, haven't got counseling that enables them to address issues in a particular way. Good counseling is going to be purposeful. It's going to be directive. There are going to be tools that you're going to receive. And a lot of counseling in America isn't that. And, of course, from our perspective as Christians, great counseling is going to point you to Jesus and remind you, don't look for the soulmate. That's a myth that doesn't exist. You know, find your satisfaction in Jesus. Also, good counseling is going to note that if you're looking for you to be compatible with your spouse, I mean, that's one of our excuses. My spouse and I are incompatible. Well, Billy Graham, after 50 years being married to Ruth, was asked the question, what's the secret of your happy marriage? Well, Ruth and I are happily incompatible, was his answer. And so incompatibilities in a marriage are kind of the given. It's learning how to cope with your spouse's incompatibility and how to change yourself. That's the secret.
That sounds like we probably need to do a little better training on the front end. I mean, if we're because you just as you said, incompatibility, it seems like that word shows up all the time. Well, just incompatible. Well, I mean, maybe we need to talk a little bit more in terms of kind of pre-screening or pastoral counseling before the wedding.
Well, and some of the things that I don't think we've done well, and I include myself in this in terms of the premarital counseling. A lot of research, and we say this kind of glibly, opposites attract. And there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, you're attracted to things in your spouse that are cute, that are attractive, you know, things that, you don't have. You know, she's the life of the party, and I'm the wallflower, and it's great being around her. But the wife who's the life of the party when you're dating her becomes a loudmouth once you're married. And so these things that are attractive while you're dating, there's a downside to everything that's attractive. And we're not prepared for that, I don't think, well, in premarital counseling. So I think you're exactly right. You know, helping a couple realize that all these wonderful things about your spouse that are different than you, that are attractive now, there's going to be a downside to that once you're married. And you need to be aware of that and not say, well, she's changed or we've changed or we've fallen out of love. It's always been there. It's just, you know, when you're arguing about the money and arguing about the discipline of the kids and arguing about sex, it's those opposite sides of those things that once were attractive. They then now come to the forefront and you feel like, well, I don't love them anymore.
So it's a matter of managing the differences?
Well, it's managing the differences and knowing that they've always been there. It's just as we get married, you know, they come to the forefront. You know, Family Life is our publisher. And Dennis Rainey, in his Weekend to Remember seminars, talks about the three stages in marriage. And sadly, many marriages don't get to stage three. You know, stage one is the romantic love where you're dating and, you know, all these opposite things are very attractive. And then the second stage is disappointed love, where now, you know, you're seeing the flip side to how she's the life of the party and you don't like it. Well, you're bound to hit this disappointed stage. Well, then Dennis Rainey says that if you focus on what God can have for you, you can get to the point where you have a fulfilled marriage that is represented by your conviction I'm married to somebody who's passionate about me, even my incompatibilities and my weaknesses and everything else. But you got to grow to that. I mean, marriage is when you get, you know, go through premarital counseling, you're not ready for that. Something has to happen in your marriage to get you to the point where you develop that maturity.
Getting some good insight today on marriages, particularly marriages that maybe seem like they're in trouble and need some rescuing. Dr. George Kenworthy has written a book called Before the Last Resort, Three Simple Questions to Rescue Your Marriage. And we'll continue with some great advice. Dr. Kenworthy is a president and founder of Hope for the Hurting Home, and he's with us today on Connecting Faith, as well as Kelsey Tim, who's also part of the ministry at Hope for the Hurting Home. And we'd love to have you join the conversation, take your questions. You have some marriage questions or relationship or just how you might be able to encourage others that you know are struggling. We'll get some good advice just on the other side of this break at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or you can drop us a line, email, it's myfaithradio.com, and then just go to the Connecting Faith show page for the link there, myfaithradio.com. We'll talk more with Dr. George Kenworthy in just a moment. Fighting for. That's what we're talking about today. Before the Last Resort, Three Simple Questions to Rescue Your Marriage. That's the title of a wonderful book from my guest today, Dr. George Kenworthy. It's published by Family Life, and of course, we encourage all the great resources available in Family Life Ministries, Family Life Today. We'll talk also about Hope for the Hurting Home. That's the ministry that George founded and is president of, established here, almost 10 years ago now. But after some 30 years or so in the pastorate, George has a passion for helping and training pastors and chaplains to help us overcome some of the challenges that marriage brings us. And, George, we were talking just a moment ago a little bit about, you mentioned the word the leaning-in spouse versus the leaning-out spouse. And I think that's a wonderful visual picture. But is there a point where maybe that lean-in goes to lean out? Is there often a trip point that happens?
Well, you also mentioned, you know, as an affair. An affair would be something that might lead somebody to the point where they want to get a divorce when their spouse has had an affair and they just can't get past the hurt of that. I've seen that happen a number of occasions. I've seen some who are leaning in spouses that want to save the marriage, but their spouse is not interested in doing anything. And then eventually the spouse who wasn't interested in doing something is now interested, and that previous leaning-in spouse is no longer interested. So I've seen them kind of go through phases, and in that case, it's more about I've dealt with this for so long, and it's, you know, too little too late, and my hope level is now gone, so it's back to I'm no longer happy, I want out. So it's kind of this happiness quotient. When I get to the point where I can't take the pain anymore, at least in my experience, that's been the one thing that brings me to the point where I now decide to be leaning out, or something that leads me to have contempt for my spouse. An affair would do that, or, you know, emotional abuse over a long period of time might do that, any number of things. But when I don't respect my spouse anymore, then I'm going to become a leaning out spouse probably.
I assume you need to have you talked about it, I think, as friends, helping with the repair narrative. We may want to talk a little bit more about that, but that you need to have actually sort of a plan or strategy that just to sort of continue on in the same way that's going isn't going to bring about hope or change.
Yes. Yeah, well, in with counseling, I think good counseling, there is a plan. What we're trying to do with churches, we're just at Kelsey's Church, a great church in Iowa Falls. So shout out to all you folks in Iowa Falls listening to Kelsey today. But a great church in Iowa Falls. Where, you know, they are determined to learn how to help their friends, you know, who are facing difficulties. And a lot of it is, you know, it's just not tools. It's understanding the mindset of a friend that is leaning out. And generally, that's about the emotional pain. So a lot of what we have to do is to say, when your friend is emotional or they're escalating, a lot of us don't want to be around that. So we may want to be neutral. You know, I don't know, it's not my deal. And then we kind of bow out. And what we're trying to do is to say, so when your friend is going emotional on you, or they may be angry at their spouse, what can you do to be helpful at a time when maybe you don't even feel like it because you don't want to get, you know, in the middle of something? So
yeah, I'm not a counselor. Yeah. Right. So what is there one thing we can do, or what maybe the thing that we most often do wrong that we should correct?
Well, probably if you know, this is a, you know, the pastor, a theologian here, you can say if there's one thing we do wrong, is that we forget the power of God to save marriages. It's like if I could say one thing to people in the church, don't ever give up on God, who tells us he can do what is impossible. So it's a lot of what we'll tell folks is, you know, to stay on that. To try to get their spouse's perspective. You know what? Have you thought about why your spouse might have said what they did or did what they did? Or more importantly, do you have God's perspective that, you know, your spouse is incapable of hurting you long term? You know, it's not that, you know, when they say something, it doesn't hurt, but your joy rests in your relationship with Jesus, and you're a change agent, or can be a change agent, because of that. So stay rooted in your relationship with Jesus. Because we tend to forget that. We get caught up in our own pain and feel like, well, my spouse did this to me. And you can say, biblically, no, that's not right. You can find joy no matter what.
You talked about being at church in Iowa Falls here recently, and I know that your real heart is to train pastors and chaplains. So what's the word that you give to pastors today? I mean, what do they need to be trained in that they're maybe not? I mean, you were a pastor for, and still are, but I mean, for three decades or so.
Well, a lot of it, that, you know, for pastors today, there are two presenting problems that we see. Again, you know, if pastors like myself who are senior pastors, in a particularly growing church, you're paid to lead and to preach. I've had elders and even the chairman of a elder board once tell me, we don't want you doing any counseling. You know, you need to focus on these other things. And there's a sense that that's what we feel. So for pastors who would say, I don't have the time, the inclination, or the abilities to be able to do it, what we would say is, well, take stock in what's happening in America today. How are we doing? The church is doing as poorly as the world because methods that we're using aren't working. And a lot of it is... and this is from our good friend, Dr. Bill Doherty from the University of Minnesota. A lot of folks, in his opinion, who do marriage counseling are not equipped to do it because the skill set that you need for individual therapy is a different skill set than what you need for marriage counseling. And many don't get that or don't know that. So we have a lot of marriage counselors who, you know, aren't very effective in what they do. And that contributes to why things are done so poorly. So for the pastors, we're saying you care about your people. We're going to train you in a two-session protocol where we're going to show you how you can keep God in the equation and how, as a pastor, you can keep track of this couple and make sure they're getting the help that they need. Because what we tend to do as a pastor is we have the Rolodex method where, you know, I don't have the time, I don't have the inclination, I don't have the abilities. So we go through the Rolodex and we refer them out. And we can say, well, we point them in the direction. And again, we can say, well, how well is that working for you? Because statistics show it's not really working. So we're just saying, you know, that's not a great method. And then the other is pastors, you know, with a shepherd's heart and time, we say, well, I'll do something. And then they get over their head at about session six, where they're getting eaten alive and they don't know what to do. So what we are doing is to say, we will train you in what will be a two-session protocol so that we can give you, again, sample lines of communication and show you what you can do to get this couple pointed in the right direction where they can get good crisis marriage counseling, and how you as a pastor can continue to pastor and shepherd them. So it's like any pastor should be able to do two sessions and then do a handoff to somebody who can help them. So
it does seem like there maybe is as big a problem as we talked about that illustration of the 10 spies in every church. I mean, there's 8 out of 10 that are kind of saying, oh, this is, you know, this is bad, this isn't going to work. I mean, that we need to really change our culture, don't we, as the body of Christ?
Well, we have way more illustrations of marriages that are failing in the church then we have illustrations of marriages that are being saved through the power of Jesus. And so, you alluded to earlier this Ambassador of Hope protocol that we have, which we feel very strongly about. And our ambassadors of hope are people whose marriages God has saved, I mean, in a powerful way. And our conviction is we need to equip folks with those stories. So part of what we're doing in our training is that we're collecting stories for these friends that we train. So they've got stories of how God has saved marriages of ordinary people and how he's done that through a friend coming and helping. And we're going to get a lot more of those stories because we are convinced that's a significant part of the secret. If we can get to the point where a friend can say, you know, Neil, I know somebody, you know, just like you who was in your situation and God saved their marriage, would you be willing to hear their story? Our hope is if you can hear the story of somebody who's walked in your shoes and God saved their marriage, you know, then you're going to say, well, maybe, just maybe, God can do something for me.
Because it does seem like we've heard statistics that say those that are going through struggles, I mean, they look back 5 years afterwards and say, you know, maybe after a divorce, say, well, I, you know, if I'd have worked a little harder at it, you know, we wouldn't have gotten through that.
Yeah. Well, again, the secular researchers do a better job with a lot of this evidence-based work than many of us in the Christian world. But, yeah, there is no question evidence to show there is divorce remorse. 3 to 5 years after a divorce, it's very common for people to regret what they did. Again, here's where I'm thankful for a lot of the secular research that is out there. But a lot of secular researchers note that divorce is not a peace option. We kind of think, you know, I get a divorce, well, then all my problems go away. Divorce is always a pain option. It's painful for the person that's, you know, that is initiating the divorce. It's obviously painful for the person who didn't want the divorce, that leaning in spouse. And we have no question evidence to show it's painful for the kids, too. So part of what we do with a leaning out spouse, and we're having friends do the same thing, is just simply say, since this is not a peace option, wouldn't it make sense to just slow this down and try reconciliation? Try it for 6 months. What do you got to lose? If you see somebody who knows what they're doing, worst case scenario, you'll become a better parent and a better person. And who knows? Maybe God will save your marriage. So that's the message we're giving to friends. And we've seen a lot of marriages saved where somebody was determined they wanted to get a divorce, and God intervened and saved the marriage.
In a moment, we're going to just review those three questions again because they are just so powerful, I think, just to hear them again and just to sort of verbally remind ourselves of what it means if we really believe that God is able to work and bring about life transformation. That's at the heart of what Dr. George Kenworthy has been sharing and teaching today, and we're going to continue in just a moment. I want to talk about their work with the chaplains as well because it's a unique experience for military families as well. We're talking to Dr. George Kenworthy, who is a pastor. He's an author. He's a founder and president of Hope for the Hurting Home. And he's written a book called Before the Last Resort, Three Simple Questions to Rescue Your Marriage. It's the publisher's Family Life. And also in the studio with us today is Kelsey Tim. Kelsey is part of the team there at Hope for the Hurting Home as they're doing more research and finding ways to be strategic and bring about help and healing to marriages. You're welcome to join us with your call, your conversation. We have some copies of the book to give away. 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH.
What are you willing to do to go beyond the call? This is Wayne Peterson, president of HCJB Global.
Churches across Houston witnessed firsthand the power of partnership as volunteers descended on the city. Thousands of people from Florida, Kentucky, and the Carolinas put on block parties, renovated schools and homes, and shared the gospel in Houston's neighborhoods. During one block party, a pastor had the chance to lead 13 people to Christ. One person said it requires a lot of energy to do something like this and pour into a community, but it's worth it when you see lives changed. Those who participated in the citywide event hope that next year, thousands more will participate in this Christ-centered celebration. This is Wayne Peterson. What is God asking you to do today? Make it a day that you go beyond the call, and then visit us online at hcjb.org.
It's 14 before the hour, and you're listening to Connecting Faith. And today, we're talking to Dr. George Kenworthy and Kelsey Tim with Hope for the Hurting Home. And Dr. Kenworthy has written a book called Before the Last Resort, Three Simple Questions to Rescue Your Marriage. Also talked about their Ambassadors of Hope and some of the other resources they have available. We'll touch on that in a moment. One of the areas that Hope for the Hurting Home is focused on is not only training pastors, but also training chaplains. And as we've touched before the show, that you know the military experience is a lot different, but they still have great needs there, don't they?
They do have great needs. And some of the things are complicated by the fact that the contemporary wars are not like historic wars. You know, we're not going through a World War II kind of experience or a Korean War experience, because now our soldiers are deployed, they come home, they're redeployed, they come home, and they're suffering significant role confusion. The one thing they know how to do and be is a soldier. They're struggling, and what does it mean to be a father and a husband? Because that role they have periodically, and then they're gone, and the wife is sole parent, sole manager of the house, and then periodically the husband comes back and assumes his role for a period of time, only to leave again. So not only are there the stresses of war, and it's not just soldiers who have PTSD, I mean the post-traumatic stress syndrome, every soldier is, or I shouldn't say most every soldier is experiencing stress, whether it's full-tone PTSD or not. So we've heard numbers as high as 80+% divorce rate in places like Fort Hood, for all the different dynamics that are going on with soldiers. So, yeah, we're excited about what we can do with soldiers. We're heading off to Fort Riley in a couple of weeks, and then Ramstein Air Base in Germany in a couple of weeks. And we've got some great stories of what God has done to help some soldiers, too.
Well, I'd like to hear one, because those statistics are pretty sobering and depressing, I think. So is there some hope today?
Yeah, well, there was an airman who was, highest-ranked sergeant in the Air Force. I should remember what that role is, but, you know, a chief master sergeant or whatever it is in the Air Force. He had had an emotional affair with someone in the military. He was hoping to keep that from his wife, but she found out. And then, of course, you know, he was heavily involved with an organization called CRU, formerly Campus Crusade for Christ. They're wonderful Christians. And his wife was just overwhelmed with the sense of betrayal. And then to make it worse, he was going to be redeployed for 6 months to a place several thousand miles away. And so this wife, who has been wounded by this emotional affair, is now thinking, how can I trust him when he's going to be deployed to, you know, not do the same thing over again? So, you know, she was on this kind of merry-go-round. How do I trust? How do I trust? He felt like he had confessed it, and he was tired of her, you know, continuing to struggle with it, which is something we find very common with people where somebody's had, you know, some kind of an affair. They weren't making any progress. So our number one question is, do you believe God is a creator God who still has creative power? So I shared this with the husband and wife, and I said, we're stuck. We need God's intervention. And I would like to challenge you to pray that God would give you a creative solution, you know, out of this dilemma, because, you know, the husband's going to be deployed and you're going to be separated and we're not in a good place right now. So they did that for a week or so. And then when we talked again, I said, so anything happened? And the wife said, well, I think so. I said, well, tell me about it. What is it that God led you to do? Where her husband was already deployed at that point, and what God led her to do was to write him an email every single day where she recounted something that she remembered that was good about their relationship. She was a wonderful writer, and so she would recount things like the first day they had their first date, and what she wore and what he wore, where they went, what the temperature was, what the mood was. I mean, everything about it in full multicolor detail. And then on another email, she'd recount the day their first child was born. And then recount, you know, coming home from the hospital, what he wore, what she wore, what, you know, where the sun was in the sky, and, you know, the whole overall mood. So totally recreating the scene. And what she discovered is, as she was doing this, rather than focusing on all the pain, she focused on these good memories and what God had given them in their relationship. And God did a healing in her heart. This husband, who was depressed because he was continuing to be reminded of his failure, and getting these emails about, you know, the positive thing, it just warmed his heart and his soul. And he started coming around. I mentioned earlier, we challenged people to become a thermostat. He wasn't that. But through his wife's tool that God had given him, her, he became that thermostat that dictated the temperature in the room. And God saved the marriage, and now they're helping other military couples with their story. He's obviously in a position of influence, so it's just one of these exciting things. And I can say I just feel like when observing what God is doing and saying, praise Jesus for, you know, providing that tool that now is one of our tools. It wasn't before, but it's one of our tools now.
Believing God is the creator God, and he's also creative. And
yes,
being willing to apply
absolutely.
Biblical principles, one of the other questions, and then are you willing to pray for God's strength and transformation? What do you do, George, if you invite a friend who confides that they're having trouble, they go to a counselor, the counselor recommends divorce?
Well, unfortunately, we hear that a lot. I mean, in my ministry, I've had a number of folks that have come to me and have said that that was the recommendation. I had one couple on one occasion that, you know, like three counselors that were involved, and then they came to see me. And the counselors, and they call themselves Christian counselors, and I can add as just as a footnote, it was here in the Twin Cities, but their Christian counselors had advised them to get a divorce. And, you know, here was the situation. The husband didn't love his wife anymore, claimed he never loved his wife. He had fallen in love with another individual. And in the counseling session, I always train somebody. So I had a gal that I was training. So in the session, I was saying, so what's going on? And he said, you know, his wife's sitting right next to him. My lover is better looking than my wife. She's a better conversationalist than my wife. I have more in common with her than I do with my wife. And honest truth is, George, she's a lot better in bed than my wife. And, I mean, you could see his poor wife kind of slinking down in the seat. And then the female counselor I was working with was ready to jump out of her trail and come over and slap this, you know, guy, you know, after that. And then he added, you know, we've been to Christian counselors who advise, given these circumstances, we should get a divorce. And I then shared the three questions with, he and his wife. And he said yes to all three questions. So when he was done, I said, well, based on your questions, I will absolutely positively guarantee God's going to save this marriage. And he said, George, I don't think you heard what I said. In fact, I asked my last counselor, how do you know when your marriage is dead? And he said, when it's dead, you'll just know it. My marriage is dead, George. And I said, listen, if you believe what you told me about these three questions, I stand by my guarantee. And he then took the challenge, and obviously the wife was the leaning in one. She took the challenge too. And it wasn't easy. I mean, there's a lot of emotional pain, a lot of other things. But invariably, there's a point where we see the Spirit of God touch the couple. And I tell them that. We're going to be praying for that day when the Spirit of God touches you as a couple, and you're going to have strength and energy you currently don't have. So I'm going to pray for that. When that happens, you'll know it and I know it. And that happened for that couple. God saved that marriage. That wife came on to do a degree here at Northwestern in family ministries. Went on to do a master's equivalent. She's now the counseling pastor of her church.
There is hope today. And maybe just here, we've got a couple minutes left. George, say a word to the person listening who feels like hope is gone.
Well, I think as I've been saying throughout, it's where do we get our hope? If we get our hope in our spouse, well, then I could probably agree. You know, hope can be gone because spouses are going to disappoint us. I mean, you know, some spouses are not well-intentioned. They may just be nasty. And so it's where do we get my hope? If my hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, no one can ever take my hope away. So I would say, you know, if you're feeling like hope is gone, redirect your hope to Jesus because he's the one that tells us he still can do what's impossible.
You know, oftentimes, I think as we touched on right at the outset, that there's someone that maybe has become sort of nagging, someone else is stonewalling. Any words of advice about, you know, marriage that has some signs that we're not heading down the right path and that the last resort is in the horizon?
Yeah, well, get some help. I mean, today we, you know, we're kind of in denial about, you know, I don't need any help. You know, if you're seeing particularly that contempt that is evident, you need some help. And there are a number of places where, you know, one can go and get some good help. I mean, obviously, it's not just counseling. Like our publisher, Family Life, has wonderful Weekend to Remember conferences. They got lots of stories of marriages being saved. There are any number of great weekend retreats. You know, obviously, the fellowship with the church, getting into a small group where you can share what's going on in a good small group. That's probably been the protocol we've seen most common. There's one of our affiliates is an organization called A Fair Recovery out of Texas. you can get involved in an online group and still be here in the Twin Cities or wherever our listeners are located. Join a small group through a Fair Recovery, and they have an 86% success rate in saving marriages. So just take advantage of the resources of the church would be my counsel. There are lots of them that are available.
And again, the book called Before the Last Resort, it's published by Family Life. And, of course, you hear Family Life each weekday at 10:30 here on Faith Radio. I encourage you to make a point to listen to that. And you can just look them up online to find out some of the resources. Or, George, talk about your Hope for the Hurting Home is doing training and the equipping. So I know that you'd love to have, I'm sure, pastors and churches to come on board and get with the program.
Yeah, well, the next 18 months, we're in research and development. So we're looking for places to do pilots for this Friends training training of pastors. We have senior pastor of the Maple Grove Evangelical Free Church, good, solid, strong church, is getting his doctorate at school up the street in faith-based discernment counseling. So he's joining our staff full-time in September, we're excited about that. And then we have another gal doing a doctorate at Fuller in this faith-based discernment counseling. So we're looking for places to do pilots in these two programs, and you'll be at the ground level in something that we're trusting is going to change the divorce culture in America.
Because it truly is. We are in a divorce culture right now, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Absolutely.
Yeah. And we want to, by God's grace, change that. If we believe, let's review the three questions again before we go.
Do you believe that God is a creator God who has creative power for you today? Question one. Second question is, are you willing to apply the principles of the Bible to your life and to your marriage? And then question three, since most folks we see are hopeless, do you believe that God has all strength and all power and all might in heavenly places? He tells us he does in Ephesians. Will you believe that and then pray for that power for yourself?
I encourage you to take on those three questions and make it your prayer today and every day, and get some great resources, too. By the way, if you want to pass this broadcast on, if you missed part of it or have a friend that could really benefit from it, you can always go to our website at myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page, and there's the podcast archives there. We put those up every day. So you have an opportunity just to share some great resource information. The book called Before the Last Resort, Three Simple Questions to Rescue Your Marriage, Dr. George Kenworthy. And Kelsey Tim with us today from Hope for the Hurting Home. Kelsey and George, good to see you. Thanks so much for coming today.
Always a privilege, Tim.
You're listening to Connecting Faith. I invite you to join us tomorrow. We're going to talk theology, and looking forward to taking your calls and questions as we open up the phones tomorrow on Connecting Faith.